नाथ माधव कुंज बिहारी कुंज बिहारी
कुंज बिहारी
गोपी जना अल्लभारी वर धारी Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupada Jai Jai Om Shrivad Kodaman Sapati Raj Kacharja Shpoh Sri Shivan Bhakti Siddhanta Sarsati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavindu Ki Jai Nama Acharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Sadi Gaur Bhakti Vindu Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gokobinath Sham Kumradha Kumini Gurdhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai Navadev Tham Ki Jai Jagannath Kuri Ki Jai Gangamai Ki Jai Jamanamai Ki Jai Tulsi Devi Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees All glories to the assembled devotees. Gaur Premanande. Thank you all very much for coming. A few administrative matters, first of all. Let's please have a cell phone check. Cell phones should be off or silent. The second thing is, let's do a kid check. Children who are not intensely eager to sit for a lecture do not have to be forced to sit. We have a place for them. Children who want to play. We have a place for children who want to play upstairs.
Yeah, we have. They can play upstairs.
Okay, outside or upstairs. Any children who are more inclined to play than to sit and listen, which is probably a lot of children, you can invite them upstairs, outside for fun and games. You need not hesitate. Space, I don't know what else we can do here.
We have all this space, but there's no sitting mat there. Yeah, you can. This is empty real estate. You can fill it up.
I can suggest that the ladies who have small children can sit in the back near the stairway so that should you want, you can make use of the exit. Sure. Again, the ladies with small children can sit more toward the back or the exit so that if need be, you're able to give your children a break. And one more item, no photography, please. Photography is disturbing. You're authorized. All right, everyone is comfortable as far as possible. So this is, we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is. This is chapter 3, and we're on text 42, I think. Indriyani paranyahur Indriyevya Paramanaha
Indriyevya Paramanaha
Manasastu Parabhubhir
Manasastu Parabhubhir
Yo Buddhe Paratastu
Saha
Indriyani Paranyabhur
Indriyani Paranyabhur
Indriyevya Paramanaha
Indriyevya Paramanaha
Manasastu Parabhubhir
Manasastu Parabhubhir
Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha
Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha
Indriyani Paranyabhur
Indriyani Paranyabhur
Indriyebhya Paramanaha
Indriyebhya Paramanaha
Manasastu Parabhudhir
Manasastu Parabhudhir
Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha
Yo Buddhe Paratastu Saha
Indriyani
Indriyani
Senses
Senses
Parani
Parani
Superior
Superior
Ahu
Ahu
Are said
Are said
Indriyebhyaha
Indriyebhyaha
More than the senses
More than the senses
Param
Param
Superior
Superior
Manaha
Manaha
The mind
The mind
Manasaha
Manasaha
More than the mind
More than the mind
Tu
Tu
Also
Also
Para
Para
Superior
Superior
Buddhi
Buddhi
Intelligence
Intelligence
Ya
Ya
Hu
Hu
Buddhe
Buddhe
More than the intelligence
More than the intelligence
Parataha
Parataha
Superior
Superior
Tu
Tu
Par Saha
Saha
He
He
The working senses are superior to dulled matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence. Purport. The senses are different outlets for the activities of lust. Lust is reserved within the body, but it is given vent through the senses. Therefore, the senses are superior to the body as a whole. These outlets are not in use when there is superior consciousness or Krishna consciousness. In Krishna consciousness, the soul makes direct connection with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the hierarchy of bodily functions, as described here, ultimately ends in the Supreme Soul. Om Adhyam Chinyanatrasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Mudaveda Maha Shri Chaitanya Mano Udhistham Sthavitam Jena Bhutale Shalam Rupa Parakritam Dhali Shafanatitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Dutta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagrajatam Vitam Samsima Sadaitam Sadhurnam Parishyasitam Parishyatam Yanevam Shri Radha Krishna Bhagavan Arjuna has Atakena Ryukto Yam. Papam Charati Gurusham. Anishchan Api Varshnaya. Baladi Vaniyogita. What is it that makes a person act sinfully, even against his will? Sinfully means against the principles of prescribed duty. When we fail to act according to our duty, or when we act against the principles of Shastra, the principles of duty, then this is papa, sinful activity. So Arjuna says, we know it's sinful, we don't even want to do it, and still we're doing it. Why? When we know better, and we don't even want to, we're trying not to, then Krishna says, Kamesha Protesha Rajaguna Sumut. When there's too much Rajaguna, passion, and Kama, lust, and the younger brother of lust, anger. Kamesha Protesha Rajaguna Sumut. Mahasano Mahapapa Vijayamiyavarana, the great enemy of the living being. This is the enemy. We're thinking this country is our enemy, that country is our enemy, these people are our enemies, those people are our enemies. But Krishna says the real enemy is within, in the form of kama. What is that kama? That's also described. It's the covering of the living being. Tumena vriyate vanir yatara darsho malena cha. Yato vena vrito garvas tata tenedam avritam. As the fire is covered by smoke, or as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the heart is covered by different degrees of lust. More, still more, and most. Avritam gyaname tena gyanino nityabhayana. Gyanina. Gyanina means one who has knowledge. The living being is by nature full of knowledge. But avritam gyanam, his knowledge is covered, avritam, etena, by lust. Avritam gyanam etena, gyanino, nityabhairena, kamarupena kostantya, duspurena nalena. The lust which is very difficult to satisfy, lust never says, all right, that was good, finished. No, more. And dushpura, dushpura means never satisfied. And analena cha, burning like fire. Indriyani mano bhutiras yatishthan muchate. The lust, Mr. Lust, has taken up these strategic positions. Lust is contaminating the senses. Lust is contaminating the mind also. Even the intelligence is contaminated by lust. Etai vimohayatyesha jnanam avritya deha. Acting through these, lust covers the good knowledge of the living being. Now Krishna says, then Krishna says, tasmat, therefore, tvam indriyanya ado niyamya. From the very beginning, ado, one should control the senses. Tasmat tvam indriyani ado niyamya. Niyamya means discipline. Just like an ox is disciplined from the very young age, then it's not very difficult. or a child is disciplined from a very young age. If he's not disciplined when he's a young boy, then he grows up and no one can control him. So the senses should be controlled from the very beginning. Indriyani ado niyamya. And in this way, papmanam prajihi jnanam jnana vijnana nasham. In this way, one should conquer lust, which is jnana vijnana nasham, which destroys, wipes out our knowledge and our self-realization. This is the enemy. This is the very clearly stated in Bhagavad Gita. The enemy of the conditioned soul is this lusty desire. Therefore, that lusty desire is to be controlled from the very beginning. So one may say, how to control it? Now Krishna is giving his analysis. Indriyani paranyahur indriyevya param manaha. There's a hierarchy. Higher than the body as a whole, or higher than all matter as a whole, are the senses. Higher than the senses is the mind, which is like the center of the senses. Therefore, it said that the yoga system is to control the mind. Then higher than the mind is the intelligence. And higher than the intelligence is the soul. Therefore, the intelligence should control the mind control the senses. This is the right order. Otherwise, if it goes the other way, the objects of sense are attracting the senses. The senses are pulling the mind. Come on, come on. Mind is picking up the idea. Yeah, come on. Engaging the intelligence. Now, how are we going to do this? Intelligence is meant for spiritual realization. But when it's pulled by the mind, which is pulled by the senses, then the intelligence becomes misengaged in thinking about how to get sense gratification. It's not that no intelligence is used for the intelligence is used. Suppose if I want to steal, sometimes they're using the most intelligent schemes how to rob a bank. It's intelligence. But it's intelligence which is driven by lust. Lust is pulling through the mind and senses, and the intelligence is engaged in the service of lust. Otherwise, going the other way, the intelligence is higher, it can control the mind. And the mind can control the senses. The example is given that the body is like a car, like a chariot, you can say, and the senses are the horses, the mind is the reins, like that. Mind, intelligence is the driver. And the soul is the person in the chariot. So when you can control the driver, and the driver can control the reins in order to control the horses, then you're all right. But if the horses are leading, and the driver has dropped the reins, and he's not listening to the passenger, then what is the situation? Tasma tvam indriyanyado niyam. Therefore, Krishna says from the very beginning, one should control the mind and senses. Bodily action means the functions of the senses, and stopping the senses means stopping all bodily actions. But since the mind is active, then even though the body may be silent and at rest, the mind will act, as it does during dreaming. But above the mind is the determination of the intelligence, and above the intelligence is the soul proper. If, therefore, the soul is directly engaged with the Supreme, naturally all other subordinates, namely intelligence, mind, and senses, will be automatically engaged. In the Katha Upanishad, there's a similar passage in which it is said that the objects of sense gratification are superior to the senses, and mind is superior to the sense objects. If, therefore, the mind is directly engaged in the service of the Lord constantly, then there is no chance that the senses will be engaged in other ways. This mental attitude has already been explained, pranam drishtva nivartate. If the mind is engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord, there is no chance of its being engaged in the lower propensities. In the Katha Upanishad, the soul has been described as Mahan, the great. Therefore, the soul is above all, namely the sense objects, the senses, the mind, and the intelligence. Therefore, directly understanding the constitutional position of the soul is the solution of the whole problem. So this is the thing. It's not simply restraint of the senses, but it's engagement of the senses in the service of Krishna. Sarvopadi inirvuktam tat pratena nirvanam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhakti ruchite. This is bhakti. To engage my senses in the service of the master of the senses. The senses can't be stopped. Even if I can stop my senses, I'm a yogi, I can sit, I can stop my senses for some time. But the mind will still be going. But the mind and senses both can be engaged in the service of Krishna. This is intelligence. To engage the mind, senses, intelligence, everything in the service of Krishna. This is the constitutional position of the soul. The soul is the eternal servant of Krishna. When he's engaged in Krishna's service, he's happy. He's very happy when he's engaged in the service of Krishna. Then lust comes. Come on, no, I'm busy. Come on, no, I've got something better to do. Yeah? Because he's engaged in Krishna's service. When Maya is proposing something else, no, he's engaged. Padam drishtva nivartate. Because he's got some higher taste, the lower taste is not attractive. This is the solution to the whole problem. Savai manam Krishna panada vindaya. To engage the mind at the senses, at the lotus feet of Krishna. And then, vachamsi vaikuntha gunar varnane. Engage the tongue in speaking of Krishna, the ear in hearing about Krishna, all of the senses in serving Krishna in different ways. With intelligence, one has to seek out the constitutional position of the soul and then engage the mind always in Krishna consciousness. That solves the whole problem. A neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses. That's the first thing. Not to mix with the objects of the senses. That's sensible, intelligent. If the sense objects are problematic, then why go there? If I have a problem with liquor, then why should I? Then I should stay away from the liquor shop. Therefore, this co-education is also not a very good policy. Because what is the main attraction? Bhumsastriya maitani bhavameta. Boy is attracted to the girl, the girl is attracted to the boy. So then if you put them together all day long, especially at adolescence, then the lesson may be whatever it may be, but the subtext is sex attraction. The boys are thinking of the girls are thinking of the boys.
Jayato Vishuddha, Jayate Vishuddha Pumsam, Sangasteshu Vijayate, Sangat Jayate Kama. They're thinking of one another, they're in association with one another. Then naturally lust develops. So the real education is Gurukul education. Brahmachari Gurukule, Vasantanta Guru. Real education is Brahmachari training. Vasantanta. Danta means controlled. How to control the mind. That's real education. Otherwise, there's so many big, big men. They've been to big, big universities and so many things. They're highly educated, big degrees. And what is their business? They're woman hunters. Big political figures, big scientists. And they don't know how to control the mind, don't know how to control the senses. They're victimized by the enemy in the form of lusty desires. Even if they conquer so many other enemies, external enemies, this internal enemy they don't know how to control because they were never trained. So the real training for the human being is Brahmacharya training. From the early age, how to control the mind, how to control the senses, how to be free from victimization by material desires. A neophyte spiritualist is generally advised to keep aloof from the objects of the senses. But aside from that, one has to strengthen the mind by the use of intelligence. If by intelligence one engages one's mind in Krishna consciousness, by complete surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then automatically the mind becomes stronger. And even though the senses are very strong, like serpents, they will be no more effective than serpents with broken fangs. But even though the soul is the master of intelligence and mind, and the senses also, still unless it is strengthened by association with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, there's every chance of falling down due to the agitated mind. And this is real Brahmachari training. Chari means... What is chari? One who is moving. Chara means moving. So chari means one who is moving. And brahmachari, one who is moving toward Brahma, the absolute. He's brahmachari. Not simply controlling, stopping the actions of the senses, not standing still, but moving toward Krishna. This is brahmachari. Real brahmachari means engaged in the service of Param Brahma, the personality of Godhead, Krishna. This is real training in the business of human life. Because human life is meant for brahmajigyasa, for inquiring about Brahma, inquiring about Krishna, for developing re-establishing our relationship with Krishna, acting in that relationship, and finally attaining the real goal of life, love for Krishna, prema pramartha mahana. That's the real mission of human life. Otherwise, the human life is a failure. Parabhavastavada-bhoda-jato-yavanda-jigyasata. As long as one doesn't inquire about Atma Tattva, the truth of the self, one's life is parabola, failure. There's so many big, big successful men in this world who are all failures. Because jigyasata na Atma Tattva. They're not inquiring about Atma Tattva or spiritual knowledge. They were never trained. They were never encouraged. They were never given the right direction. And so, their life is a failure. Manusha Janama Paya Radha Krishna. Because he's not engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is simply engaged in the service of the senses. One has to serve. No one can say, I won't serve. But if one is not serving Krishna, then one will be serving Maya. And that's generally human society's business. They're engaged in serving Maya and forgetting Krishna consciousness. But real human life is meant for dharma, Bhagavad dharma, for engagement in the eternal function of service to Krishna. That's the perfection. And yayatma su prasiddhi, that will actually satisfy the living being. Shall we finish the chapter? I think we can finish. It's not very long. Evam buddhe param buddha.
Evam buddhe param buddha.
Samstabhyatma namatmana.
Samstabhyatma namatmana.
Jahi shatru mahabaho.
Jahi shatru mahabaho.
Kamarupam durasadam.
Kamarupam durasadam.
Evam buddhe param buddha.
Evam buddhe param buddha.
Samstabhyatma namatmana.
Samstabhyatma namatmana.
Jahi shatrum mahabaho.
Jahi shatrum mahabaho.
Kamarupam durasadam.
Kamarupam durasadam.
Evam.
Evam.
Thus.
Buddhe,
buddhe, to intelligence.
Param, param,
superior.
Superior.
Buddha,
buddha,
knowing.
Knowing.
Samstabhya,
samstabhya,
by steadying.
By steadying.
Atmanam,
atmanam,
the mind.
Atmana,
atmana, by deliberate intelligence.
Jahi,
conquer.
Shatrum,
the enemy.
Mahabaho,
Mahabaho, almighty armed one.
Kamarupam,
in the form of lust.
Durasadam,
formidable. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind, and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjuna. One should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Purport: this third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is conclusively directive to Krishna consciousness by knowing oneself as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without considering impersonal voidness, the ultimate end. In the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. Desire for overlording and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy of the conditioned soul. But by the strength of Krishna consciousness, one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence. One may not give up work and prescribed duties all of a sudden, but by gradually developing Krishna consciousness, one can be situated in a transcendental position without being influenced by the material senses and the mind, by steady intelligence directed toward one's pure identity. This is the sum total of this chapter. In the immature stage of material existence, philosophical speculations and artificial attempts to control the senses by the so-called practice of yogic postures can never help a man toward spiritual life. He must be trained in Krishna consciousness by higher intelligence. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the third chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of karma yoga, or the discharge of one's prescribed duty in Krishna consciousness. Jai Shatra, conquer the enemy. This is Krishna's conclusive message. Evam bhute param bhutva, by superior intelligence, samstabhyatmanam atmanam, One should control the mind by steady intelligence, engaged in the service of Krishna, and in this way conquer lusty desires and make one's life successful in devotional service and go back home, back to God. This is the ultimate conclusion. Are there some questions?
Can you please explain this by deliberate intelligence?
Deliberate intelligence? Yeah, not haphazard. Not that the intelligence is going here and going there. What is that? Bahu shaka hinantascha buddhayo vyavasayana. Vyavasayatmika buddhir ekeha kurunam. Krishna says that Krishna consciousness is, or anything, you can do it when your mind is fixed in one direction. If suppose you want to be a chess player or an Olympic swimmer or anything, you have to fix your mind on it. You can't be one minute here, 1 minute there, one day here, you have to fix on it. Just like Arjuna, he became the best archer in the world because he was fixed on it. Even at night he was practicing shooting his arrows. So that's ekaiha, one-pointed intelligence. Bahu shakaya nantascha buddhayo vyavasayana. Otherwise, master of all trades, what is that? Jack of all trades, master of them. A mind a little bit here, a little bit there, sometimes this way, sometimes some yoga, sometimes some this, that. No conclusion. So deliberate means focused. Some other question?
Lord Krishna said in Sloka 9, Ajnata Karmanyama Niyata Lokayam Karma Bandhana. But we are all working in some industries and plants and so many factories. But are we bound for all the works?
Yagyartha Karmano Yatra Lokayam Karma Bandhana. Krishna says that unless we're working for Yagya, then we're bound to karma. So we're all working in factories or something like that, so are we bound?
We take rebirth,
and take bound and having to take rebirth and so on. The thing is, the work should become yagya. Yagya artha. Yagya artha karma nama yatra. Yagya artha means for the sake of yagya. Yagya means sacrifice, and yagya is also a name of Lord Vishnu. That means that we have a right to work, karmanye vadikaraste, but mapaleshu kadachana, we discussed yesterday. That work is not meant that I work and then I get the results of the work and grab it, now it's mine. In human life, I have to sacrifice. What is sacrifice? Take my paycheck and throw it in the Arabian Sea? No. I should use that for Krishna. Tat purusha madarpana. Then it's yagya. Then it's yagya. When I take everything that I get, suppose I'm working, when I use my money for the service of the Lord, that's yagya. When I use my anything for the service of Krishna, it becomes yagya. Then brahmarpanam, brahmavir, brahmagno, brahmanahutam, brahmaiva, Kena, Gantavya, Brahma Karma, Samadhina, everything becomes spiritualized. My work also becomes spiritualized, purified. Otherwise, simply working and getting a paycheck and enjoying, that means karma bandhana. And that means punarjanma. Otherwise, using everything for Krishna means freedom from material existence. Some other question?
I have a two-part question.
Two-part question, okay.
One is, how one should have how he should have balance in devotional service with his duties towards his family?
How should one have balance in devotional service and duties toward the family? Real duty toward the family is devotional service. That makes it very simple. It's not like how much time do I do for devotional service and how much do I give attention to my family. My duty to my family is devotional service. Otherwise, what is my duty to the family? Simply to provide food and the house and a VCR and another car and another VCR and an Xbox and a this and a that. That's not my actual duty. Actual duty is grasta ashram. Grasta ashram means a place of spiritual culture. So suppose if we make an ashram. Ashram doesn't mean that we make some very nice little huts and then in each hut we install a television set and then we're sitting around. That's not an ashram. People will come and say, this is an ashram? They're like ordinary materialists. So grahastha ashram, the home of a spiritually minded householder, is an ashram. So in the ashram, all of the residents are engaged in Krishna service. Therefore, in the household, we keep the deity of the Lord. The ordinary person, he cooks, or his wife cooks, and everybody eats. And afterward, they say, oh, that was so good. And then they turn on the television, and then, you know, watch till midnight, and then they go to sleep. But in the house of the Krishna conscious person, Krishna's in the center. The food is cooked and offered to the Lord. Then everyone takes the prasadam offered to Krishna. And there's some opportunity for discussing something, Krishna katha, or meeting with other devotees and chanting Hare Krishna. So in the morning also, there's some chanting Hare Krishna. Some you can keep the tulsi plants and circumambulate the tulsi, tulsi parikrama. Pour water on the tulsi, hear something, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad. These are all spiritual activities. So the home becomes an ashram. That's the actual duty, how to make the home a place of spiritual culture so that all the members of the home will become liberated persons by being engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. Their life will be successful.
Second part is, only performs this devotional service, neglects the duties towards his family, whether it will be acceptable to the Lord?
If one only performs devotional service and neglects his duties to the family, will be acceptable to the Lord. This point I've already made, that the real duty to the family is devotional service. So one has to perform one's duty. So the duty to the family is to make them Krishna conscious. That's the real duty. To see that everything is going on nicely so that everyone becomes Krishna conscious. Otherwise, even if you give up your family duties for the service of the Lord, there's no harm. Chaktva svadharmam charanam bhujam harer. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, even if somehow by some immature idea, one gives up his prescribed duties for the service of the Lord, still there's no fault there. Because the connection, it was done for Krishna's service, he'll be making spiritual advancement. But immaturely, one should not give up family life. It's not that I get married on Tuesday, Thursday I become Krishna conscious, and Friday I give up my family. That's not recommended. And then Tuesday I go back again. No. The Krishna consciousness can be executed in any stage. In the beginning, brahmachari life should be given, brahmachari training. Not that the childhood is spoiled by, or youth is spoiled by uncontrolled sense gratification. Vasan danta guru arita. Brahmacharya training should be there. Then, next, householder life. That's alright. Husband and wife cooperate for the service of Krishna. It's very good. But But that's not a lifelong project also. In the Varnashram system, there are four ashrams. Brahmacharya ashram is first, spiritual training. Then Grihastha ashram, responsible family life. Then the next thing is retired life, Vanaprastha ashram. In the mature stage, one should retire from family activities. Panchashortam vranam vrajet. Not that till I'm 80, I stay at home seeing to the welfare of the family. Why? That's my duty up till the age of 50. At the age of 50, now my duty is to retire. Retirement doesn't mean, like in the material world, now my duty is to find a nice condominium apartment on a golf course and spend my time playing golf and fishing and reading the newspaper and doing crossword puzzles. That's not retirement. That's degradation. But this is another ashram, Vanaprastha ashram. It means retirement from ordinary affairs, household affairs, and engagement in spiritual activities that lead to detachment. In household life, some attachment must be there. Put the hands of the husband and wife together. So now you're attached. That's meant to be. But that's not meant to be a permanent attachment. Vanaprastha ashram means now cultivating detachment. The husband and wife may go together to different tirtha sthans, places of pilgrimage. And they can go on tirtha yatra together, or they can go to a place like Vrindavan and do Krishna Seva, live in Vrindavan. Or the wife stays at home under the care of the grown-up sons, and the husband will go out for preaching and spiritual activities. And sometimes maybe come back and then go out and come back. But in any case, cultivating detachment. That's the actual retirement. Retirement means retirement from business. Business, finished. Sex life, finished. In the Vanaprastha ashram, there's no sex life. Not that we go on trying to have sex in our 70s or even later, using Viagra and all of these things. This is a program for spoiling the human form of life. In the Aryan culture, Vedic culture, the Vanaprastha ashram must be there. Now, no sex, business finished, and our real business now is getting closer to Krishna with more concentration. Then the fourth stage is sannyasa ashram, complete detachment, say from 75 years of age. After all, there's going to be complete detachment anyway. By force, the husband and wife will be separated. But if the mind is still there, then he has to come back, she has to come back to this material world. But if the mind is focused on Krishna, then punarjanma na vidyate. So in the final stage, there's sannyas. Sannyas means complete detachment. At that point, there's no more connection between husband and wife. The man, just like Srila Prabhupada, did that. He was a responsible householder. Then he began going back and going out, preaching more. He went to Jhansi. He was trying to spread Krishna consciousness. Then finally, completely left home. He went to Vrindavan. And started this. Then came out and spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. That's actually the real mission of human life. Not that I simply spend my old days sitting at home with my family and bouncing my grandchildren on my knee. That's not the idea. And the advanced in the mature stage now, my relationship has been there with the family. Now my relationship should be more for getting free from material attachment and going back to God. And in the advanced stage,
preaching, spreading Krishna consciousness everywhere, sannyas. Is that all right? Yes.
How should one devotee behave with the other
devotee? One devotee behave with another devotee? Yes, we have this term, prabhu. The one devotee addresses the other devotee as prabhu. Prabhu means master. So if the prabhu is the master, then I'm the servant. So the program should be Vaishnav Seva. How to serve the devotees? Better than serving the devotee is serving Krishna, serving the devotee. Aradhananam sarvesham Vishnu aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarjanam. Lord Shiva told Parvati, aradhananam sarvesham, of all the different kinds of aradhan, worship, Vishnu aradhanam param. The worship of Lord Vishnu is the highest. Tasmad, higher than that, parataram devi, still higher, tadiyanam samarjanam, service to those who are related to Vishnu. So serving the devotee is more appreciated by the Lord than service to himself. So that should be, our Krishna consciousness movement is meant for creating this culture of service rendered by each devotee to the others. Mutual serving society. It's not just that we install Krishna and we all serve Krishna. And we don't give a damn about the other, anyone else. It's all about me and Krishna. No. That's for the rank neophyte devotee. And the person who's like that, who simply cares about Krishna and doesn't care about anyone else. Krishna says he's like a person who's doing yajna and pouring the ghee into the ashes. Instead of pouring into the fire, he's pouring the ghee into the ashes. Swaha, no. So we should cultivate this mood of Vaishnava Seva. Why? The Vaishnavas are our prabhus, or they're representatives of the Supreme Prabhu, Krishna. So that should be our mood.
Most of the Vaishnavana, Medashambhu, Lord Shiva is the number one Vaishnava, like Ganpati, all these things. In general, in our mood in ISKCON, you know, we don't worship demigods, they say. And not only say that, they are a little offensive about the demigod worship.
Yeah, that should not be. It's not Amanina Manadena. A Vaishnav gives respect even to the ants. So what to speak of respecting Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Ganesh, so many exalted servants of the Lord. That should be there. Not that, oh, Lord Shiva, he's... yes, could we please turn off the phones? Thank you. So where the Vaishnavas are also worshippers of Lord Shiva, but not like the Mayavadis. The Mayavadis generally think that the absolute truth is impersonal. So any yatamattatapad, any deity you worship, it's all the same. If you like, you choose Lord Shiva. If you like, you choose Lord Vishnu. If you like, you choose Ganesh. If you like, you choose Indra. If you like, you choose... And you worship your Ishta Devata, and it's all the same anyway, because they're all representations of the Supreme. No. No. Krishna is the personality of Godhead, Purushottama, the Param Brahma. He is the Uttama Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ekala Isha Krishna Sarvabhutya, and everyone else is servant of Krishna. Not that everyone is on an equal level. What is that? Yatura Narayanam Devam Brahmarudradi Daivata Samatvenaya Vavikshetha Yapashandi Pade. Shiva.
If someone thinks that Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma and all the different devatas are on the same level, then Shastra says he's Pashyandi. Pashyandi means he's an atheist. Just suppose if someone says, just like we have, now let's see, this is Qatar, so you have a sheikh, huh? So the sheikh is there. So we're all good citizens, we honor the sheikh. That's very good. But now if we think that my method of honoring the sheikh is that everyone else is also as good as the sheikh. That the minister is also as good as the sheikh. The man on the street is also as good as the sheikh. I'm also as good as the sheikh. Then what is the meaning of honoring the sheikh? It means he's just the same as everybody else. Huh? So the honor is finished. But actually honoring the sheikh means the sheikh is the top man, then he has his ministers. They're also to be respected because they're his ministers, but not that the minister is on the same level as the sheikh. That will be a misunderstanding. But he's honored like the sheikh because he's servant of the sheikh. So similarly, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, all of the other devatas, Devi, their Vaishnavas are respecting them because they're connected with Krishna. But we don't make the mistake of thinking that they're on the same level as Krishna. That's all. And generally people are making that mistake. Some other question?
Maharaj, like you said, Krishna is a real enjoyer. And is he enjoying all our activities or is he selective in his enjoying only the spiritual activities?
Yeah, it's not that if you're drinking wine, then Krishna is enjoying. It's not that. That if you become a pig in stool, and when you're eating stool, Krishna's enjoying. That's not the meaning. Bhokta cha prabhureva cha. Aham hi sarva yajnana. All sacrifice should be offered to Krishna. He's the rightful enjoyer of everything. So when you're serving him, just like the son, when he's serving the family, the father is enjoying. This is very nice. But not that when the son is going out and smoking marijuana and drinking and doing all rubbish, the father is enjoying. No. Because the son is out of his natural function. He's gone outside the natural function. Now it's unhappy business. Not that Krishna, the father is enjoying. The child is meant to give enjoyment to the father. If he doesn't, then he becomes a rascal. So not that Krishna is enjoying our rascal. If he were enjoying it, he wouldn't say stop. But he says stop, sarvadharman pratyaj. You give up all your other nonsense. Mam ekam shadana bhavet. You surrender to me, then I'll enjoy it. That all right? Something else? Yes? Yes, all the demigods are devotees of Lord Krishna. Om Tat Vishnu Paramam Padam Sada Prashanti Suraya. In the Rig Veda it said, all the devatas, suras, they're always looking toward the lotus feet of Vishnu.
Does it mean that service to the demigods, means service to the devotees,
Is service to the demigods better than service to the Lord? If you serve the demigods in the spirit of serving the Lord, then it's good. If you're serving the demigods for the sake of pleasing Krishna, then it's good. Not going to the demigod, sir, here's my laundry list of requests. Not like that. But like the gopis, they were praying to Katyayani. Katyayani means Devi. Please engage us in the service of Krishna. Please let Krishna be our. Rukmini also. Rukmini was, her marriage was arranged by her brother, Rukmini, to Shishupal. The father wanted that his daughter should be married to Krishna, but somehow the son prevailed and the marriage was arranged to Shishupal. So Rukmini sent a message to Krishna through a Brahmin that this rascal is supposed to marry me, but why should I be given to him? You come kidnap me, please. So that message was sent. The Brahmin had to go so many miles to where Krishna was staying. And Rukmini was, you know, awaiting what will happen. And meanwhile, the rituals are going on. You know, for so many days, the marriage rituals will go there. And in the family tradition, she went with the older ladies to offer respects to Lord Shiva and Devi. So she was seeing Lord Shiva and Lord Devi, and the older ladies were chanting their mantras and, you know, guiding her through the rituals. But she was simply praying to Devi and Lord Shiva that if I've ever done anything to please you, if I've ever done any pious activities at all, if you've ever been pleased with me in any way, please let Krishna come and kidnap me. Please, you know, save me from this rascal and let me be married to Krishna. Huh? So in that way, why did she want to be married to Krishna? So that she could serve Krishna. So if you pray to Lord Shiva, to Devi, toward Lord Brahma, to any of the devatas, Ganesha, please let me be engaged in the service of Krishna, and then it's very nice. You can worship the demigods. Worship means like that.
So what is your message?
Worship means that you can offer respect to the demigod and pray that please engage me in the service of Krishna. That's all right. But not that we'll... our engagement is not... Anyway, like that. That much only. Not also that for my spiritual advancement I'll worship Krishna, and for my material advancement I'll worship Lord Shiva or Lord Devi or this. Not like that. Akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo daradi ti vrena bhakti yogena yajeta bhushan. One stop shopping, just go to Krishna for everything.
Krishna has told very clearly.
Yes. Maya Babihita Gita. In many places in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's condemning worship of Anya Devata. Kamai Staister Hitagana Prapajante. So this Anya Devata worship is not approved. But to respect the Anya Devata as servants of Krishna, that's approved. Only the right idea has to be there. I'll give you an example that one of our devotees in Fiji, before he became connected with the society, he had his, you know, home altar, and everybody was there. Devi was there, Śrīla Śiva was there, Krishna was there, Ganesha was there, everybody was there. And I think they were worshipped in the family tradition since long time. So then they invited Prabhupada to Fiji, he came to their house, and they asked, that what should we do? You know, we're doing this seva of all the different gods. And Prabhupada said, it's all right, but just keep Krishna at the higher level. And you keep the Anya Devata at the lower level. That just like you're owning a big business. So it's not that when you sit down to eat, you eat with all the workers. You're the head man, so you're on a higher level. So in that way, you keep Krishna on the topmost section, and then the others are his subordinates. So Krishna is there with his servants, then it's all right. The proper conception should be there. Not that there are so many gods, and Krishna is also one of the gods. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone else is servants of Krishna, our servants. Then with that understanding, we respect all the devatas.
Notice a lot of people are double sitters.
What is that?
Double sitters in the Kali Yuga, most of the people.
Duplicitous.
Yeah.
Especially most people are duplicitous in Kali Yuga.
Yeah. So, especially after coming to devotional services, I found a lot of experiences in this. So, do they really intentionally doing, or they unknowingly, they're because of bad habits they're doing?
Anishchanapi Varshnaya, Kalahadi Vani Hojita, even unintentionally or without desiring to be. You know about the thief who went on pilgrimage? You know that story? You don't know? There was some thief, and somehow or other, he decided to go on pilgrimage, or maybe some pilgrimage party was there and he joined the party. Anyway, the party was going, he joined the party and went on pilgrimage. But at night, because he was a thief, everyone took rest, and he began going through everyone's stuff. And, you know, appropriating something, 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 something from everybody's stuff. But then he thought that this is not very good. I've come on Tirtha Yatra, and now I'm stealing. Huh? Because I'm a thief, now I've done this. So then, in the morning, everybody got up and, you know, they saw, where's my this, where's my that, where's this, where's that, someone has been stealing. So then the thief said that this is the position, I'm a thief, I've stolen everything, but I put everything back somewhere. He thought, this is not very good, I've stolen everything. So he put everything back, but, you know, where he stole what from, he no longer knew. So he put everything back someplace. Then when everyone was looking for their stuff, he said, anyway, don't worry, forgive me, I'm a thief, I had to steal something, but it's all someplace. So we may come to this society with so many propensities. Stealing, cheating, lying, being too competitive, being too this or that. But if we chant Hare Krishna and dance in kirtan and serve Krishna, then all of these things will be purified. Sees is the mother, so she's the first guru. She introduces the father, he's the second guru. Father introduces us to the guru, he's the third guru. And he introduces us to Krishna. So if we leave the mother for the vanaprastha ashram, is it sinful? No. But first of all, Krishna says, sarva dharman pratyajya. Let's say it's my dharma, I have to serve my mother. But Krishna says, sarva dharman pratyajya. Mam ekam sharanam bhava. You give up all other dharma, you surrender to me. Then someone says, no, but that's sinful.
But it is not dharma.
Someone says, that's sinful. Krishna says, aham tam sarva papebhyo mokshishyami. I'll save you from sin. Mashutra, don't worry about that. You just surrender to me.
Actually, I'm understanding Maharaj is so good. But for applicability, practicality,
that's practical. The real thing is, who has to take care of the family members? Who has to actually provide for the welfare of everyone?
Krishna.
Materially. No, Krishna, I understand. But in human society, who's responsible for taking care of the material needs of the different members of society? The householders. The brahmacharis are not going to support their parents. The householders have to take care of their children and the other brahmacharis. Then the vanaprasthas and sannyasis, they also are to be supported by the householders. So the householders are to be engaged in supporting everyone. But when one retires, then duty finished. One has to perform that duty while he's in the householder life. Just like my work, 9 to 5. Then if you call me up at 7 o'clock and say there's some work, I'm sorry. I work 9 to 5. It's my duty from 9 to 5. After 5, something else is there. Now, the duty of maintaining family members and doing all of these things, giving charity, this is all for the householder. While I'm in the householder ashram, as far as possible, I should arrange so that in the future, in my absence, every day, after all, I'm going to leave the scene anyway. You have two ways of leaving the scene, voluntarily and involuntarily. Whether or not to leave the scene is not within your control. You're going to leave. Now, you want to go voluntarily or you want to go kicking and screaming? But you're going to have to go.
No, one more thing.
So, the Vedic idea is go voluntarily. At the mature stage, now 50 is sufficient. Now you leave home. And the next generation should be there. Now if you're 50, you had your children. Children should be grown up. You've trained them to be responsible, Krishna conscious boys. So now you give them a responsibility. You take care of your mother, you take care of your grandmother, whoever's there. You take care of it, because now it's, I'm passing the baton to you. I did it, now it's for you. You take the business, you take the headache also, you take the responsibility, you take everything, I'm leaving. That's the duty. While you're in station, do everything. Because that's your duty. Then, close the shop, or hand the shop over to the next man, and you have your next duty. You're asking, if I neglect my duty, is it sinful? Yes. But what is your duty? Now you have a new duty. To leave home. Pancha shortam vanam rajet. Rajet is imperative. It's not optional. Rajet is vidhilin. You must do it. So if you neglect, then you're sinful. Just like Arjuna, you expect me to kill my family members? Isn't that sinful? Krishna said, if you don't kill them, it's sinful. Because it's your duty. So up to a certain age, my duty is to serve my family members, my wife, my children, my parents, everything. Then, vanaprastasha. Now hand things over to the next generation. This is also a problem. The old generation sit and block everything, you know, like they clog the pipes. And the new guys can't get in there and do anything. You know, the old politicians, till they're 92, they stay in office. You know, they think, my presence is required, the country needs me. You know, the country is waiting for the old guy to die. But he's thinking, they need me. So to prevent that also, get out, just get out. Now you're 50, get out. Don't worry about it. Get out. And let the next generation, they should have been trained by now. Now let them take over. They'll make their mistakes. They'll do things. And they'll learn also. Let them do. And you move on. Vanaprasthashram, I explained, it also means gradual detachment. So in the Vanaprasthashram, contact is all right with the family, you'll see how they're doing, but basically your business is finished. Just some guidance, some, everything's all right, yes, everything's all right.
And then sannyas, forget it. All business finished. Is that all right? Yeah, in the old days the vanaprastas would go to the forest, they'd live on roots and berries, they'd do severe tapasya.
What about the present day thing?
Present day, we don't expect you to go to the forest and dress in tree bark and live on roots and berries. That's not practical. Who can do that? But therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, if you want to go to a forest, go to Vrindavan Forest. We have our arrangements there, the MBT and other places. You can stay in Vrindavan, serve Krishna Balaram, chant Hare Krishna. That's practical. That's very practical.
What are the effects of Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita on your mental situation as well as on devotion?
What is it?
What is the effect of reading Ramayana?
What's the effect of reading Ramayana and Bhagavad Gita on your mental situation? Your mind becomes purified. Read Bhagavad Gita, read Ramayana, read Srimad Bhagavatam, read the spiritual books, it's purifying. Only we should not read these books commented on by the Mayavadis. I don't know if you have a good edition of Ramayana, but if there's some. Rama is also Krishna. Otherwise, we have Srimad Bhagavatam, so many books. Ramayana is also Krishna consciousness. Valmiki Ramayana.
Maharaj, the present situation, as you have referred, that Vanashram system, the present situation, no one is trained as a Brahmachari.
In the present situation, no one is trained as a brahmachari, and
these are the basis for the whole varnashram system.
And this is the basis for the whole varnashram system.
And now most of the people who join us in their household life situation, so for them to take up this Krishna consciousness, practice it, again take a vanaprastha and go further.
So people join as householders for them to become vanaprasthas, take up Krishna consciousness and then become vanaprasthas.
Go further. How is it practical?
It's practical. Best is that you have full training in your early life. That's the first class. Otherwise, just like we should have been trained, all of us, in Krishna consciousness from, like Prahlad Maharaj, from 5 years old. But if we didn't get the training from early on, then all right, better late than never. Better late than never. Then let me take it up. And then having taken it up, let me follow the different steps as far as possible. I may not have the greatest training, but let me do it. Just like that hunter. He wasn't trained as a brahmachari, but he met Narad Muni. Narad Muni said, do this. Alright, he did it. He didn't say, wait, I wasn't trained as a brahmachari, I was trained as a hunter, I can't do this. He was trained as a hunter, but to speak of anything else. And Narad Muni said, you give up your business. He was a hunter. What kind of business is that? Narad Muni said, shut down the business. You break your bow, stop the business. And what should I do? You live by the side of the river, make a little hut, you plant a tulsi plant, and do tulsi puja and chant Hare Krishna. Hunter said, how will I live? How will I eat? If I'm not hunting, what will happen to me and my wife? Don't worry, I'll send food. So the hunter took it seriously. He made the hut, he planted the tulsi, he was doing the puja. He became a regular Vaishnava, chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram. Then the local people came to know that this hunter has become a sadhu. It's such a wonderful thing. So they were going to see him to get the darshan of the hunter sadhu, the former hunter who had become a sadhu. And when you go see a sadhu, naturally you bring something. So someone is bringing a little atta, someone is bringing a little rice, someone is bringing. So they were giving everything needed.
So then later Narad Muni came, how's everything going? Everything's going all right, but stop sending so much stuff. We're getting more than we need. So no training was there, but they took it seriously. Although it was later in life, they took it seriously. So if you get the message, best thing is, you know, especially for the young children, give them the message from the very beginning. But if we got it later, all right, take it later. Dhritarashtra. What was his life? His whole life was plotting how to hold on to the kingdom. Dhritarashtra. He's how to hold on to the kingdom for me and my sons. That was his whole life. But then he got the message of spiritual realization from Vidura. And by the grace of Vidura, he understood that I'm sitting in this palace under the illusion that I'm the royal nephew of a royal uncle of King Yudhisthira, and everyone is respecting me. And meanwhile, I'm living like a dog in the palace. The men who killed all my sons are throwing me some scraps of food. I'm living at their mercy. And my teeth are falling out. I'm blind from birth. My hearing is also going bad. The liver isn't working properly. It means all the signs of old age are there. And still I'm living here in the palace like an old dog. So let me get out. So he went to the forest. And Gandhari saw my husband is going. She also went. And they got freed from this entanglement. So the example is there. They weren't trained in all of this, but they went. So we should not... Yes?
But Prabhu is saying training will not do required, but if you have total surrender, automatically the vairag can come in a fraction of seconds.
No, not that everything comes in a fraction of a second, but by hearing, just like Vidura, he gave a strong message. You know, he got a note, you're going to die, you know? Imagine if all of a sudden you got a note, you're going to die. Just like Prikshit Maharaj, he got a note, you're going to die in 7 days. And changed the whole program. He was ruling, he was a young man, the whole program was in front of him. But he got the message that I'm going to die in 7 days, canceled the whole program. Gave up his royal dress, gave up the kingdom, installed his son on the throne, went to the Ganga. What should I do? Went, asked all the sages, now what should I do? Sukadeva Goswami, you should hear about Krishna. Yes, all right. Just got the message. Kadavanga Maharaj, you got a message? The demigods told him, you're going to die right away. All right, surrender to Krishna right away. So whenever we get the message, we should take it seriously. The message of old age is death. When the hair is turning gray, when the appetite is less, when we see our grown children, when all this body is starting to get weaker, all of these things, well, these are all signs of death. It's like the advance, as people are saying, you know, it's advance notice, actually fortunate. So many times death just comes, you know, you're hit by a car, or you're, so many things happen, you fall up a ladder and you die. Otherwise, in the natural course of things, some advance warning is given. But we don't read the message. I know I'm still young, I feel like a young man. Old fool. So many messages are being given. You know, we have to get the message. It's the message that now death is not so far in the future. So when the message comes, what should I do? I should change my program. I was making, you know, establishing myself. A young man, he establishes himself. Starts a business, or he gets into his father's business. He starts a family, gets a house. He, you know, establishes. But old man, he's in the business, his business is to get out now. Completely different duty. Young man's business is to get things going. And the old man's business is to get going himself.
He's in real Krishna's business, Maharaj.
Excuse me?
He's in real Krishna's business. Is it any requirement of retirement?
Yes. Krishna's business, any business, he should get out. And so he's going to get out anyway. Well, Krishna's business is... That's a different thing. If it's only business, but Krishna's business means bhajan, chanting. Even suppose if I'm doing business for Krishna's service, but now when the message is coming that I'm getting old, the thing, then I should make my business more chanting Hare Krishna, doing bhajan, because the business is going to have to go on without me. That message is there. You're doing business. Maybe you're making money for Krishna. You're doing something for Krishna, but your business is going to be finished because you're going to be finished.
As long as I'm serving Krishna, it's transcendental.
That's all right. It is transcendental. But then still I should get the message that maybe I have to put the next man in the business because I'm going to leave. That's called succession planning. All right, put some... Hare Krishna. So put some young men in the business and let me train them and get out. Well, even good... good manager, he does business by directing his underlings how to do it. He trains his next group, and then he can start a new business, or he can, you know, he doesn't have to give so much time. So when the message is there, old age is coming, death is approaching. All right, let me train the next people, and now my business is how to see that they're doing it nicely. They're doing it nicely. All right, then now I can. When you're old, after a while, when you're old and old, the business also is not so much fun. If we've served Krishna nicely throughout our life, then in the old age, more taste will be there. For let me chant now. Now let me be in Vrindavan. Now let me, just like we have that same devotee actually from Fiji. He met Prabhupada so many years ago. He was a very big businessman, actually. His family is the biggest business family in all of Fiji. He and his brothers, everything's got their name on it. But now he's old, so he's retired to Vrindavan. You know Vasudev?
Yeah.
Huh? So he and his wife have retired to Vrindavan. And business is going on. I haven't been there a while. Must be sons are doing it, somebody's doing it. But he's spending his time in Vrindavan doing money. Because he served Krishna very nicely, so now in his old age he has more taste for doing bhajan and serving in Vrindavan. Oh, that's nice. Develop our attachment for Vrindavan, and in the mature stage we'll go and live there forever.
Develop the steady intelligence, what we require is association of devotees.
To develop steady intelligence, we require association of devotees, yes. That's
associate with devotee means what actually?
Associate means serve devotees. Serve devotees means Krishna consciousness. Dadati, you give them something for Krishna's... Like, anyway, Dadati, Pratigarnati, give them something, accept something from them. Guyamakyati Prichati, reveal your mind to them, hear from them about their situation. Bhunkte Bhojayate Chaiva, give prasadam to the devotees. And accept prasadam from them. These are ways to develop loving relationships. Or in Bhagavad Gita, Bodhyanta Parasparam, mutual enlightenment society. You tell them about something about Krishna, they'll tell you something about Krishna. You tell them something else about Krishna, they'll tell you something. Katiyantastra Mannicham, always talking about Krishna. Tushanti Chavaranticham, this is enjoyment in the association of devotees. To serve Krishna together. Glorify Krishna together. Sankirtan. Sankirtan movement. Mm. 16 syllables in the Mahamantra.
8 syllables Hare.
Yes.
And reminding that 8 syllables are 4 for Krishna and 4 for Rama.
four syllables Krishna, four syllables Rama, eight syllables Hare.
Yeah, in our ISKCON temple, why we are not keeping Rama in our ISKCON?
In our ISKCON temples, why are we not keeping Rama? Actually, in so many ISKCON temples, we are keeping Rama. In London, Lord Ramachandra is there. In Bombay, Lord Ramachandra is there. Washington, D.C., Lord Ramachandra is there. Delhi also, capital, Lord Ramachandra is there. So in many ISKCON temples, we have... You can keep Rama. But from another point of view, Rama is also Krishna. Rama means... Ramante yogino nante satyananda chidatmani iti rama padeha. So param brahma diyate. The param brahma, Krishna, is also called Rama because he's the reservoir of pleasure. So Krishna, Rama is also another name of Krishna. So this is also Rama. Rama can be taken as Ramchandra or also Balaram, also Parshuram, and also Krishna, he's the original Rama. But as you like.
Rama
Adi Murti Shukala Niyamena. Nana Avatara. Yes, Sakaro. Krishna Swayam. Krishna, or another Krishna is the reservoir of all the avatars. So when Krishna is there, Rama is included, he's also in Krishna. Balaram is also in Krishna. Matsya avatar, Nrisingadev. If you're seeing Krishna, you're seeing all the avatars. Just like if you're seeing 100, what is it, reals? If you're seeing 100 reals, then you're also seeing 50, you're also seeing 20, you're also seeing 1, everything is there included. So if you're seeing Krishna, you're seeing everyone. Is that okay? Should we take more questions? Stop here, tell me what to do.
Stop. Anybody wants to ask a question?
Okay, if anyone else has any questions, you can come. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.